Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Dent Concussion Center.
Yeah, welcome to the Instigators. Andrew Peters, Craig Rebbe, Marty Biron shuffling in here. That's what we're trying to do, get Marty Biron all settled so that all the lovers of Marty can tune into the show. We have a very special guest right here with us. We are live from the Park Country Club Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament. Sabres President Rob Ray will join us at some point. We're also going to be joined at 10:30 with J.P. Dumont is going to join us. Who else is going to join us? Well, Marty is here, so we have that. A couple other guys are going to be around. It's like so many guys are here, right? Darren Poop is here.
The list is amazing.
Well, what we're doing, Poopa and I, what we are still working on here is we have this Poopa paste in the works. We're going to be selling hair products because this guy has
got a nice hair.
He's got the most legendary.
Do you remember when he was playing, though? He took the mask off and his hair was like perfect. He put the mask back on. He played, then there was a break, he took the mask off, the hair was perfect.
He had the single greatest mullet on the back of a hockey card I've ever seen. It was his all-star card, and guy's just legendary, so we're going to try to get him on too. He's around. But anyway, Jordan Leopold joins
us. Hi, buddy.
We got a lot to talk about here, but first and foremost, former Buffalo Sabre Jordan Leopold. What's going on?
You know, it's funny because I was just sitting on the porch over there catching up on work back at home, and then you called me over. Leo, get over here. Okay, all right.
Well, what is work these
days? So I live in Minnesota. I do kind of what you guys do in the winter. I have a show called Beyond the Pond on one of our affiliates for the Wild back at home. And we talk about all the hockey stuff. I mean, we do the same exact thing, just not full-time, only 4 months out of the year, and go from there. I do not produce a show like you do.
Who do you do it with?
I just sit over here.
I'm in the same boat.
I do it with a guy by the name of Pat Micheletti, who's Joe Micheletti's brother.
Yeah.
If you know Joe, you know
Joe. I know
Joe,
Pat,
yeah. So Pat does it with myself, and then we have a producer that sits in the chair and runs all the keys and all that stuff. So I know nothing about that other than my experience of hockey and just talk about it and the eight wonderful teams that I played with, this being one of them. I'm still carrying around the same luggage that I had for years.
It's because you were in high demand. People wanted
high
you.
Demand.
High demand.
High demand.
Same luggage or same baggage?
Same luggage, same baggage, same everything, same underwear.
Play?
Well, if I go through the list, I was in Calgary. After that, I went to Colorado. I went back to Calgary. Then I went to Florida, being the Panthers. Then I went to Pittsburgh. I got to keep this straight. I came to Buffalo. I went to St. Louis, Columbus, and Minnesota.
So you went to Calgary twice. So
Do you have all your jerseys up on the wall?
I have one jersey from every team, yes. Yeah, not on the wall, but in a case. In a case that is like a poster case.
I'm going to put you on the spot right here.
All right.
Rank them 1 through 8 in your experience.
I can't do that.
Oh, come on.
And here's what I do. I say, all right, if it's for hockey, Calgary, being in Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. I was there for the Red Mile, the Stanley Cup Finals. That was beyond words. Nuts.
So you had some fun with Rhett Warner.
Had a little bit fun with Retro. Yeah, and I think you guys understand Retro's act. It's quite funny. But then if it goes for living and hockey, Colorado was great. And then if it goes for living, I honestly picked Buffalo because my family loved it here.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of roots here. I still come back, yeah. And the reason I come back is because of the friendships we've made over the years and the people I get to see. And actually, a lot of the kids that I see. I went to the hospital quite a bit when I was here. And try to visit with a couple of those kids that I got close to and involve them as much as I can when I come back.
Well, one of my kids, my son's friend, is actually one of the kids that you saw when you were playing here, little Garrett Rimfola.
Yeah.
And Garrett last a year ago, went to the Buffalo Bills training camp, and I got to make a, I have a few plays, got to score a touchdown, the whole thing. We still play, you know, baseball and hockey against Garrett, and he still talks so highly of you and your wife and your family, and so it's yeah, your time here was appreciated by not only the hockey fan but the community, and so for that we thank you for coming back.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when I got traded here, and I called you right after I got traded, like, what am I here to expect?
You called Rivs?
I called Rivs. He was the captain
did
at the time.
Call him to ask kay. Him how to handle.
Well, he called me.
Yeah, because that was.
I know that. I know
about that.
I know, and he's like, hey, when I got traded here, I mean, it was not. And the same thing for me. Like, my wife and I, we flew in, are like, oh my gosh, what did we get ourselves into? And once we got grounded, best place ever.
Yeah.
We love it. I mean, it's a, for me, being from Minnesota, it's a Midwest town. It really is. And I thought we were coming to, like, far New York where everybody's not as friendly and as nice where we came from.
People have no idea.
They,
you know, when you're traded to a city, you're thinking about the glam and, you know, the beauty of the city. And, you know, My issue with Buffalo back when I had not phoned Darcy Regeer back for almost 2 months was that I had a hate relationship with Buffalo. I had played against them in the same division for such a long time that you built that, you know, that bad blood, and now it's like to think that I held out. I live here after hockey. I've been here. I've been retired for 8 years. I love it. I love Buffalo. I think Buffalo is an absolutely incredible place.
So why do you leave for 6 weeks in the best part of the year in the summer?
Because I go to a
place that's even better. You don't have to answer that.
I'll answer it. I go to a place that's even better.
Yeah, he needs a break from Petey and I. Yeah.
Instigators, Andrew Peters. Craig Rivet, Martin Biron. We're live on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG, and we're live from Park Country Club where the Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament is taking place today. And we are joined right now with Jordan Leopold, and obviously Jordan, obviously a Sabres alumni if he's here at the Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament. A lot of people remember, after your time in Buffalo, a very heartwarming letter, and I think we've talked to you about it on the show, but do you still have that letter that your daughter wrote to the general manager, I think, in Columbus?
No, in Minnesota, right? Minnesota.
To trade you.
So we have it somewhere. I don't know where it is. I think it could be in the drawer, the bottom drawer of the basketball.
Yeah. In the nightstand, like, you know, keep it there.
But it was one of those deals where I had I got traded in the middle of the season at Thanksgiving time, American Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we can't hear you right now, so we'll try to make that work.
No, nobody.
I don't seem to be hearing Jordan either.
Hey, you know what? So, you know what's funny? In the most,
you have to lean
in the
it's unplugged. See, he works the radio now. He knows this thing is unplugged. Hey, there you go.
That's all right, right there.
Hey, okay, yeah. Leo's audio video. You need a I
own an event center at home, so I do this stuff every day.
So you know,
the mixer over there, yeah, that same thing.
In
yeah.
The most it's fantastic. Heartwarming part of the whole segment here, you know, you get cut off.
Yeah,
you
know, but no, but, well, my
Jordan
daughter with the letter.
The letter that his daughter wrote asking his daddy to be traded back home.
Yeah, I lived away for a while. I got traded at Thanksgiving out of St. Louis, and basically drove my vehicle from St. Louis to Columbus and said, bye, kids. See you later. Yeah. They moved home to Minnesota, and they lived without me for 3-4 months, and it was hard. It really was, and my kids kind of took a toll, and my son was acting out in school and all that because dad wasn't home to, you know, whip him in shape, and my daughter wrote a heartfelt letter. My wife put it in the safe for a while, and then finally she was desperate at the trade deadline, wanted me home, and released this thing to one of our buddies on the radio, and it went viral. It just did. And thank goodness it all worked out. It was all coincidence. It never got released to anybody or got sent. But the story ended up being great. We had people on vacation in Thailand that heard about it through the local media in Thailand and Russia and all these places. But it was nuts. We did one interview on Fox News with Elizabeth Hasselbeck early in the morning, and that was it. Every network, Ellen show, between you know, the Today Show, all that kind of stuff, were calling. Once we did the one, everybody dropped off. It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's well. You got to think there was hockey, and if it had been football, it probably would have been a much bigger scale. But for our community, for our culture, It was a great, heartwarming story, but it was even better that it was the you guys. You were your family. You guys were back together. Yeah. You got your little moment. I'm sure your first game back in Minnesota was probably great.
Let's cut the nonsense out. You know, I think it's absolutely garbage that kids can manipulate trades in pro sports.
I think it's great. It worked out wonderful for me.
Obviously, you're going to say that. Yeah. As soon as Leo found out his daughter had written a letter, he had his bags packed in the hotel room. I can't wait until I'm coming home.
This has got to work. There's no way he's going to turn this down.
No, there's no way. And you know what? Both GMs played it like they set it up. You know, like they took advantage of it as far as they could, and good for them, rightfully so. But it did put hockey on the map for a couple weeks for good reasons.
Yep.
You know, it just reality is we're human beings and we live somewhat normal lives, but it's reality to anybody, the working folk
and
out there.
What was the year that you you retired?
2015. April 15 was my last go around with the Wild, and that was it. I wanted
to
sign and
play
one more
year. Last game? Do you remember like?
Yeah,
I was in the
bleachers.
You didn't play your last game?
I
no, I'm saying the last game you actually played. The last game you were on the ice.
Yeah, I kind of waved my kids. We got swept by Chicago in playoffs, and I knew there was a chance maybe I wouldn't play the next game, just get somebody else in the lineup and change it up. Not to say a sixth defenseman is going to make a difference, but they just needed a change and took me out of the lineup. I looked up at my kids, you know, sitting in the stands and kind of gave them a goodbye toast.
So you're saying a sixth defenseman in the playoff doesn't matter. Our show is based on debating those those kind of decisions. Get them out of the fourth line. Put this guy in.
Yeah, I know. But at the time, you know, when you're a sixth defenseman and you know, our top guys weren't doing their things, we're going to take top guys out in playoffs no matter what. So, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to send a message by taking an old guy out of the lineup and putting somebody younger in. That's basically what it was.
That it changes the
outcome. Yeah, hoping
right?
that it does something. No, it did
Negative.
Not. They got swept.
Negative.
I sit in the back room going, oh, boy, here we go.
Instigators, we are we're over at the Park Country Club here for the Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament. Sabre President Rob Race floating around here somewhere, and I mean floating around here somewhere. we got Jordan Leopold on our set right now, Marty Biron, Craig Rivet talking about Leo's hockey career and all different aspects of it, time in Buffalo. Let me ask you guys this. So some big news. Let's get to some global hockey news here. Eric Lindros over the weekend, I think, drops an absolute bomb on the hockey world when talking about banning body contact from hockey. Now, I'm curious to know your thoughts on this, suggesting, you know, juniors, college, you know, youth and all that stuff. I'm curious to know your thoughts on the Big E, who is probably one of the most physical players to maybe ever play. It probably imposed a lot of damage on a lot of guys as he played. You know, makes a comment like that. Curious to know your thoughts.
Leo, you're the
Leo,
guest.
Leo, you're the guest.
Well, I'm the guest.
4 month-a-year hockey analyst.
Once a year, I go down to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, and we have a huge debate about this stuff for youth sports in Minnesota. And even USA Hockey, not Canadian Hockey, but USA Hockey. We talk about this stuff. And the big debate last year was to take hitting out of Bantam age, which is 13, 14-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. We just did it for peewees, which is, you know, 10, 11, 12. And that debate is there. And I think the statistics that they show medically are there to do it. Hell, and is it going to happen? Well, I'm a hockey purist. I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
Is it going to happen? It possibly could. I mean, you look at the Big E there. He's he gave some punishment, but he also took some too.
He took some big ones.
You're talking at the Bantam age that you were discussing.
I'm talking at the Bantam age, which is 13, 14 years old. Yeah, we just recently in USA Hockey, and it could be the same for Canada. I don't know. We just recently took out hitting at the Pee Wee age because of the difference of height.
But
of
you
kids
took it
and
out
size.
Recently. You said I want to say that's probably 25 years ago. Because when I was a kid playing peewee in Quebec, we didn't have hitting at peewee. But with the peewee tournament, the international peewee tournament in Quebec City, all the Americans team would come in and they'd be peewee age groups and they would be allowed to hit. So we're talking like late 80s, early 90s. I want to say that probably mid-90s is when it probably changed that the U.S. Peewee age kids did not hit. But my issue, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, is if you're going to take it out of Bantam, why not taking it out altogether? Because what's the difference between the Bantam age guys and the midget, or the midget and the juniors?
I'll tell you flat out. I have a major Bantam hockey team right now.
Yep.
I have one kid on the team that's 6'3" and a half. He's 170 pounds. He's 14.
Yep.
Kills
6'3",
guys.
170. I have another kid on my team that's just under 5 feet tall, 101 pounds.
Yeah.
That's why you want to take it out of Bantam hockey if you're going to do it, because a lot of these players, the boy who's, and I say a boy because they're boys.
Still kids.
They're big boys. They're young men that there's some guys that they all grow differently. Some guys start to grow and hit puberty at age 11. Some guys start to hit it at age 14. The guys that hit it at age 11 are extremely dangerous for a very long time. You know what I'm saying? As you get to midget age, most of those, all of them have hit puberty. They're starting to become men, and there's a big difference in the game. There's not.
But
as
I
much,
look at Eric Lindros was a specimen, right? He was bigger, stronger
than
everybody else at Pee Wee, at Bantam. What I think Eric Lindros is trying to say is that body checking has more of a negative impact on the brain and on all the head issues that we're dealing with at every level of hockey, not just at Bantam. That it is at in juniors. In juniors, how many times do you see guys getting their heads rammed into the board in juniors because you're so hyped up and you played 3-3, so you're on Sunday, you've already played Friday, Saturday night, you're tired, you don't
Marty,
look behind your back,
you don't,
boom, you get
crushed.
You don't
hear Ronnie Lott stating that you should be taking hitting out of football. It's not like you're going to take hitting out of football and you're going to have little straps on the side where you
flag.
Can grab the flag.
I don't
think that's part of the game. That's what makes the game great is the physicality in the game. It's a little bit dangerous.
But
yes,
if you open that door and you say, okay, we're going to take hitting out of Bantam, then the next step, people are going to want it out of midget. And then within 20, 25 years, we are wiping body chicken out of every aspect of hockey. And I think that's
then
where we got to
be
careful.
Then.
Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Revey, Marty Biron here on Monday, going to be here on Tuesday as we're heading over to Rochester. For the Rochester Americans Alumni Golf Tournament, but we are.
Ribs, are you going to be there?
Park Country Club right now for the Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament, and joined right now with Jordan Leopold. We're talking about Eric Lindros's statement about concussions and taking hitting out of hockey. Now, I've been sitting here listening to you guys talk about this and what ages and levels that this should be considered. I just sent out a tweet. Care to retweet it, don't like it, I don't really care, but I applaud Eric Lindros for making these comments. And not only that, what if you didn't go
you
as draft
them you can like I commend
I do
commend
believe
Eric Lindros
them.
For
I,
what
I,
he just
I,
said
I do believe them
you believe that they should be taking body contact out of hockey.
There's okay, here's my point. I'm not saying that you go and take body contact out of hockey. But what I'm saying is maybe we eliminate Radko Gudas running through the middle of the ice. The Scott Stevens hit on Lindros, the Scott Stevens hit on Paul Kariya, the Eric Lindros hit on name any 250 guys that you want right here
don't
at
you
open
think
ice.
That they're moving towards that.
You don't
that
you
out?
Don't see as many of those open ice
right.
hits as
so,
you used to.
Because
so
you're
why
don't get
so hold on
for
so
20
why,
games.
So why not just why not just teach these players how to angle guys off into the boards? No charging into the boards. Let's be honest.
They
I've
do teach
seen
them, but the game is so fast.
Some of the worst concussions I've seen are not punches to the head, and they're not shoulders to the head. They're shoulder-to-shoulder body checks.
Whiplash. Yeah, but that's why the game is so fast that in 1970, a mere like 48 years ago, guys didn't have helmets and didn't really suffer head injury because the game didn't move at the rate of speed it does now. Now you have helmets that are built to protect your head, and they're tested to be able to absorb the impact, but you still have injuries because the game is so fast. You'll never be able to take the accidental hit out of the way, the changing of direction at the last second out of that creates a bad hit or a bad shoulder-to-head position. And suspensions are going to happen. It's just part of today's game that you have to be more aware of if you're a player on the ice.
Let's take it a different direction here. And I've brought this up for debate before, and I want to hear what you guys have to say. What if, even the NHL, and I could see this happening, because what happens is when you take your superstars off the ice or people that make a lot of money, now your payroll goes up.
Yeah.
And the owners don't like that, and neither do the players because of the revenue sharing.
And the escrow.
The escrow, yes. So would – I know the union wouldn't be in favor of this, but what if you opened up the ice and went 4-on-4 like you do during the All-Star game or something like that, where the body contact shrinkens because there's more open ice? And yep. if you miss a guy, now you're screwed. Yeah. And you can't go for that big hit.
Well, before doing that...
And you wouldn't do that at the grassroots levels, but I'm saying at the higher
before
levels.
Before doing that...
You'll open the ice up.
But before going to 4-on-4 and completely change the face of
hockey... It lowers your payroll.
Yeah. Maybe. But how about you add a mere 5 feet on each side to the width of the ice. Right now, the ice is 85 by 200, I believe. Is
well,
that
we have a
is?
Lot of Olympic sheets in Minnesota, because when Herb Brooks was around
yeah.
in the late 90s, they pushed a lot of U.S. or a lot of Olympic sheets to do that.
Yep.
Well, now everybody wants NHL sheets.
Yeah, but at
everybody
because,
wants to revert back.
Because you're 12 years old playing on an Olympic
exactly.
sheet, and it's too big.
It's too
but
big.
The NHL players, I'm not saying go Olympic 200 by 100, but if you went 200 by 95... You're giving that just that little bit of room to be able to change the dynamic of the physicality
but
on the ice.
But try
how
31
this,
teams making those renovations.
Let me know
well,
what you guys think
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but...
How about we don't change it at all? How about we don't change anything?
You
are so smart.
The game is beautiful. The game has a little bit of danger to it, and that's appealing. I like the fighting. I don't like the fighting that happened years ago when I played.
You mean this guy yelling at me the whole game because I had an ugly helmet?
Yes.
That kind of crap? Well, what do you mean?
Was that an eye tech?
No. Yeah, it was. It was your, look at him. Hey, Leopold, that's
the best helmet I've ever seen in my life.
Was it eye tech or was it?
Oh, it was a mission. It was a mission.
Oh, the best chirp I've ever heard. Oh, ever. Adam All there, games. We're in L.A., and I just buckled Kip Brennan twice in one fight, and he had I think, the mission helmet on,
the
but he had
straps.
The leather straps.
Yeah, I had leather
and
straps,
did you
it
really?
Came with leather straps.
You had leather straps?
It came with them.
Only tough guys had leather straps. What were you doing with leather
that's
straps?
What it, that's
Sandy
what it came with.
Sandy McCarthy had the leather straps. Ty Domi.
Kozlov, he had the same helmet. Anson Carter had it.
So
it fit good on Anson Carter. So yeah, on top of the dreads.
So Adam Marin, he's here today, and I got to ask him, but he skates by, and I think Kip Brennan had two those cotton balls like, up his nose, and he skates by, and Marin goes, "Hey, Brennan, nice helmet. Did you get a free toaster with that thing?"
PD.
I mean, it doesn't really make
I think
that
you,
much sense.
I think you like, used that one on me, too.
I might
good
have.
Job.
Well,
you
recycle stuff,
yeah,
right?
I
mean, it's all in the execution. As
PD,
long as
I remember
execute,
that game in L.A. because later in the year, Kip Brennan got traded to Atlanta, and you did the same thing to him in Atlanta. So
yeah.
you beat his, like,
I knocked him out four times in two fights, but you want to hear the thing? My brother said that to him in the minors. My brother was face-to-face with him. My brother was a chirper, right? And he goes... He's like, what are you going to do? Kip, you call yourself a heavyweight? My brother knocked you out four times in two fights in 1 year. Well, and then Kip gets a 10. He gets tossed, and he's telling everybody after the game, he's going to kill that Peters guy. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Next game, what does he do? You can YouTube it. My brother goes and I think runs one of their guys behind the net, and in comes Kip Brennan, drops his glove, and sucker punches him from behind and breaks his orbital bone, his nose.
It's because of you.
It's all because
good
of me.
Job.
So, like, you kick someone's ass enough, they're going to take it out on your
your little brother.
On your older little brother.
Older little brother.
Yeah.
When we
so good.
And you tell stories
out,
about like this, and that's hockey stories. I don't know if it's happened to you before. But so Dan Cloutier was the goaltender of the New York Rangers at the time. Then he went to Vancouver. He was about as tough as they came, right? His brother Sylvain Cloutier was in Adirondack playing for the Red Wings farm team. And every time he got in trouble and guy chased him around, he was just a little guy, a little weasel. He'd be like, "Wait till you get to the show. My brother's going to kill you." like what that? Yeah. Whatever, dude. Like, yeah. You know?
My brother said half of his fights in the minors were because someone would be like, "What are you going to do? You're not your brother." He'd be like, "Yeah, you want to bet?"
Yeah,
and he would just chuck his gloves off, and off he would go, and he'd be lead with his chin, and he'd be sleeping in a matter
awesome.
Of seconds. Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet, Jordan Leopold here with us, Marty Biron. We're live on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Stick around because in a few minutes... We're going to be joined by J.P. Dumont. He's sitting back there ready to rock and roll.
Look at him.
He had a late night last night with the old Mart Tambier on. He's looking a little rough today.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's a nice golf pant.
Marty, people are asking to stand up and show the camera. Are you wearing a white belt today?
I am.
Oh, man.
How do we feel about white belts at golf tournaments?
I can't rock a white belt. First of all, it'll be hard-pressed if I even tuck in my shirt. I don't want to show my gut. That's, you know, extra 25 pounds when you're done playing, a few Paula's Donuts in Buffalo when you come into town.
Let me ask you, I went to the fair yesterday, walked around with the kids a little bit. You know that guy that guesses your age within 2 years and your weight within 3 pounds?
Did he get you?
He got me on my age. I went over just like, I'm like, go ahead, guess my age. And he's like, let me see, take your hat off, yeah. He's looking at me. Say something for me, smile a little. And then he wrote something on a piece of paper. He goes, how old are you? And I just turned 41, like literally last week. So I say 41. He goes, I had you at 43. I'm like, you're probably the first guy to ever get me around
most people say 31.
Like 35 maybe or whatever. But then he did the weight to my buddy. And he's like, hey. Relaxed a little bit. Are you sucking it in? Oh, you got some big calves. You don't skip leg day. Like, he's giving it to him, right? So I'd like all of us alumni to bring that guy in next year.
Speaking of calves, I was just complimenting Riv's calves on Friday. He was walking out of the building. And every time you rolled up on your toe, you got a nice little flex there.
Does he have the little break
There's
in
a break
it?
In yeah, the calf. Like, he has the,
I'm going to tell you this. That's the... what did I say to you?
Yeah, Riv turns around and he stops in his all like dramatic pose and he says, I'm going to tell you something. That is the nicest thing anyone's ever said about my legs. And I'm walking out of the bathroom and he left the building so I can see him through the glass door. I was like, man, he's still got like, he's still in pretty good shape.
I was that kid that I didn't even have a calf till I was 35. I swear to God, it was just one long bone. Like, I had no calves.
Coffee cans?
Skinny.
You look like the goalies.
Skinny little legs on me. Like,
never wear shorts.
And then to have someone say that I have, like, nice calves, like, where they're, like, did you say they were bulging? Like,
they were bulging.
Are you going to have to show these things off?
I don't know. I'm embarrassed. I feel very embarrassed on this because no one's ever said something.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at his legs like that? That's what I want to
know. Why?
They get personal.
Really?
You
know why?
Why?
Because every guy, and I don't care who you are or girl, everybody wants a nice compliment.
Oh, yeah.
That's why?
It was Friday. I wanted to send my buddy home on a good
note. I tell you what, nice full head of hairs here. I mean, you got poopa coming later.
This is amazing. I'm going to go even as far as to say I went home. I am not kidding when I say this. I grabbed all the kids and my wife in the kitchen. I said, I want you to watch this. And I walked to the other end of the kitchen. And I said, I said, I want you to watch this. Tell me how my calves look. And they were all like, pretty nice, Dad.
Did you put some high heels on while you were at it too, or what?
Ask Krista.
High heels.
Yeah,
high heels.
Gathered the whole family. They're all. You know what's funny? We got Fortnite.
I can see it. We got kids all
over the place.
Hey, kids, come here. Family conference right now.
Dad's calves.
One, two, three. Look at these calves.
Plus, he set up the lights.
My calves?
You set up the lights, the up lighting and mirrors so that you could see it from different angles. Yeah.
You were that proud of that compliment?
It was
Are you struggling for compliments?
Not so much, but I've never been complimented on my calves because I've never really had calves. So to have this, let me compliment you on this.
You have a great personality today. You don't really have much of a personality either, man, but that's really coming around.
That's brutal.
Too. All right.
That's brutal.
You guys take commercial breaks on this show
right now, Leo. Because you know why we gotta get to commercial
funding
break
here.
Because the great JP Dumont, Game 3 legend versus Carolina, is coming up, and famous for the cold shoulder in the corner.
That was Ottawa. Game 3 legend against Ottawa, was it?
Carolina? Did you score an OT winner?
Ottawa. It was Ottawa. Everything. It was on
the French guys.
JP, still pretty good. I didn't even play in a playoff game. So hey, when we come back. JP Dumont, one of the game winners against the Ottawa series in 05-06. And we'll talk to him when we come back. Good buddy and Marty. You guys wrote last night?
Early. Okay. Yeah. We'll find out what JP was up to last night right here. Instigators, well,
thanks for having me on
Sports
too.
Radio 550 MSG. And thank you to Jordan Leopold.
See you, JP.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome, JP.
You're out here.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Welcome back to the Instigators, Andrew Peters and Craig Revay. Marty joining us here as well. If you're following Marty on any social
media. I'll do it right now. Wait, do it again, PD.
You're following Marty on any social media, even if you're one of the 2,000 followers that dropped off to take him from 100 to 1,000 to 99,000 that he's absolutely rattled about, you can follow him on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, MySpace.
MySpace,
Twitter.
That still exists.
Okay,
because we have JP here.
What'd you say?
Tinder.
Because we have JP here. Remember when MySpace got really big and, like, I think Danny had his own like MySpace page or whatever, and fans would just flood him with like comments after games, and that was before all the Facebook and Twitter started. But man.
Well, great story, Marty. So we got JP Dumont here.
There's some more to the story, but we can't really talk about it.
JP Dumont, what is up, man? Where were you and Marty last night? Why don't you guys go ahead and tell everybody what kind of shenanigans you got in.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, actually, we didn't do nothing at all. We just met for a quick bite. We knew we were going to get hit it pretty hard today, hopefully. Hopefully Marty's going to stay tonight, and we're going to have a few brewski.
Yeah, I got to drive JP to Rochester tomorrow, so he can go hard all night, and then I'll just drive him as he sleeps to Rochester tomorrow for the Amherst Golf Tournament. But we stayed pretty quiet last night.
You're pulling double duty.
Yeah, I had a great time playing for Rochester when I was here. Like, not a long time, but we had a good run. We lost game 6 in the final. Who won the Calder Cup. So
Hartford, right?
Yeah. We had a really good team, but came up short at the end.
I remember going to see you guys in the playoffs, and I stopped by your guys' apartment because you lived with Jean-Luc, I think.
And Denny. No,
and
Denny ML, yeah.
And I remember the beard. So you guys...
The beers or the
beer? The beers on the... 99 bottles of beers on the floor, on the wall. And the beards. Like, it was insane how you guys had it cut in an angle and the goatee and...
I was young and it was the same color, so I could do stuff.
There was no white.
Later on, through my career, like he changed color pretty quick.
Speaking of beers, did you ever hear the comments Ryan Reeves made just last week? So JP Dumont joining Marty, myself, and Craig Revay here on the Instigators, and just catching up, old buddies, catching up, old teammates. I know Riv probably cross-checked you in the face a couple times, but.
I deserved it, though.
I would imagine.
I made it.
Sure.
I made it.
We'll get into your shenanigans.
JP always played out
Talk about not calling back Darcy Ruggieri. He's probably part of the reason back in the day.
JP.
Did you ever sting Riv with the cold shoulder, the old stiff shoulder?
Probably.
But JP always played out of his mind in Montreal. Every time we got into Montreal, he said, 52, I'm going this corner. Watch out. That was you, Rivs.
He did. Guys, throw it in 52's corner. I'll get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get it back.
I was the guy who liked to let the forward
You played the left wing. You were a right defenseman, so it would have been you guys would have been on top of each other all game.
You're playing your position, always between the puck and the net, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way I could stay in the league.
Yeah. Off the glass and out and stay in between.
You know it.
Beauty.
Hey, hot dogs in Montreal, best?
Oh, yeah, by far.
And you know what?
Everybody was looking forward to that. Even like the rookies were never playing Montreal. They heard about it.
Although I'm telling you, JP was the force behind getting Saint-Hubert on the plane after games.
I remember that.
He was the one that made the call, says we need, instead of having pizza and whatever we used to get, go get Saint-Hubert, get it to the plane. So we would get, and for those who don't know what Saint-Hubert is, it's kind of like, it's Swiss Chalet. It's very similar.
Whoa.
It's better than Swiss Chalet.
But it's the same
But
model,
you get like the half chicken, and then you'd have the fries, the gravy, the bread, you know, a little
coleslaw,
whatever. So we had that on the plane. It was so good. And because of JP, Doug McKinney would go nuts because he did not want that.
So wait,
to be
that's
the
when
way.
You look at the skinny guy in the plane, you're like, hey, you going to eat your bread? Give me your gravy, and you're sitting there soaking up the
or the skin of the chicken.
The skin. And if you really were feeling it, you'd get ribs alongside your chicken.
Wait, did I remember that was 03, 04 maybe. Or 04, 05, or 05, 06, because we didn't play in 04, 05. Yeah. And I remember we didn't have it in the one trip. And then I remember you were in the gym at the locker room.
Whoa,
we were,
that,
no, no, we were all
I was
one
in the time. Gym.
It was a team workout. It was a team workout. You were in there filling out the clipboard after practice. And we were getting ready to go to Montreal. And I think I remember hearing you say, hey, can we get St. Hubert? And did you have to pay for that? Or did you just arrange to have
no,
that?
No, I paid once. And after that, the second time, the team paid for it. But yeah. It's okay.
Like the hot dogs in the locker room after the game,
yeah.
You would get 50 hot dogs in the locker room. It costs you $50. You'd just give Richard, the locker room attendant,
Richard.
Montreal, Richard, you'd give him 50 and you say, can I get 50 hot dogs in the locker room? He wouldn't pay for them. He'd basically be a tip for him to get him in. But yeah. You get $50, 50 hot dogs.
Yeah.
So J.P. Dumont did not score that game three goal against Carolina. It was Ottawa.
Yes.
I know what you didn't do against Carolina. That was fire the puck over the glass. But that's a stinging. So let me ask you this.
There was 51 guys that did that, right?
Going back. Well, that was the year of the rule change. I mean, let's be honest. Does it not seem like every year the rules change, that someone gets bitten in the tail at some point in the playoffs over that rule change?
I don't know. I think you play a whole season, and obviously I'm not blaming Brian Campbell for throwing it over the glass. He tried to do what he thought was best, and the puck rolled on him a little bit. It just happened at the worst time, right? And listen, I was benefactor of other calls. My first year with the Flyers, we go in Game 7 overtime against the Washington Capitals in Washington. Tom Pody takes a tripping penalty that you don't call a tripping penalty in overtime the way that happened. We ended up scoring on the power play. So, I mean, you get calls go your way. You get calls not going your way. But the fact that we were even in a Game 7, JP, you probably recall that old series a lot better than I do, was pretty amazing the way we did it. Losing, was it game? We were up in game three pretty big, and then they changed goalie, and then we ended up losing that one, which was a killer, right?
Well, pretty much all series against Carolina, we were up like most of the games, like even the last game, game seven.
Up 2-1.
Yeah, up 2-1. Missing like, I think was it like a 3 or a 4D, but like 4D. 3 over top 4 already, like missing. So
you know what's amazing?
That was a tough one.
Guys, is that, Marty, we've done this show for a couple of years on TV and radio, and I've been doing Hockey Hotline prior to that for 4 years maybe. People still remember that team. I mean, that 05-06 team, and not more, and I believe more than the 06-07 team, even though we were so dominant in 06-07, but everyone remembers that 05-06 team. I think number one, the defenseman that went down. But, I think just how we went about that run. I mean,
well, we had some tough years before that, right? You know what I mean? Like ownership issues, guys leaving the team. And I think that the full city just rallied behind the Sabres that year. You know what I mean? Like we were going to playoff, like especially in the first round. Ottawa was favorite to win the cup that year. And, you know what I mean? Like all that in Philly, like all series, like we're never favorite. And I think the city just rallied right behind us, and it just like it was everybody in the town was talking about it. I remember after scoring that goals, and that was the rule too, right? You know what I mean, like no cell phone, like you can't talk on the phone, and I got pulled over the next day. Like I don't remember the cop's name, but like he let me go because he was at the game.
Nice goal,
He said nice goals. Like make sure you don't talk on the phone. Like I was like, yeah, thank you, sir. But I remember. Like it was. I think that's why everybody remembers. It's just because that was not expected. Everybody just jumped on board. Like everybody was so in. And the year after that, when I think the Sabres had a really good team. Missing just a left winger.
Oh, you know what's funny, Jason?
But they're not talking about it, but you know what I mean? Like the city, like everybody was expecting it, so like it was a little bit different.
But moments defined what you remember. And that year in the playoffs, there was moments. There was the Jay McKee overtime goal, right? Yeah. That was big. There was JP's goal against Ottawa. There was Danny play overtime goal game 6 at home against Palmer. Against Carolina, right?
Oh, even Palmer, short-handed. To finish the series against Ottawa.
Palmer was to finish, but who scored game 6 overtime against Carolina? That was Danny, I think.
Chris Drury, too.
Chris had. But those moments define. The 06-07 season, you remember against the Rangers, the goal with 3 seconds left. Drew scored, and then Max scoring in overtime. But I think there was more moments in the 05-06 playoffs. As, JP's goal against Ottawa, Palmer's goal against Ottawa, there was more moments in that playoffs that people remember than anywhere else.
No, what nobody knows about our team was that we had that team song and we had Mugatu's video.
Mugatu.
Hey, the JP came,
you
up,
came
with
up with the nickname,
yeah,
right?
Did,
greatest
yeah.
nickname ever for a guy
well,
like Corey
people
Smith.
That don't know, Corey Smith is Derek Smith's son. Derek is an alumni, and Corey was our video guy. And I think that was the very first year or second year he was the video guy with the Sabres. And it was at the time where Zoolander was really big as a movie. And
we
I don't know
why.
We
were at the Marriott getting ready to go to Toronto, and he had that tie on. That
he had
like
the piano tie. And so JP goes, wait, what do you got there? Piano tie, Mugatu? So that's the Will Ferrell character. So his nickname never changed. It was Mugatu all the time. PD, you came up with that that playoff song. It was Smack That, right?
Yeah. I didn't come up with that.
Yeah, you did.
I did?
I think you
Shake
did.
That
Shake
by,
That
by... Eminem and, yeah. and Mugatu did all the videos. Remember, we used
video.
To watch the video before every series? Yeah. At the we'd meet at the Marriott.
Remember, we were,
they had to use a regular season game for Petey, remember?
Yeah. I like it. JP, thank you. Thank you. Give me five. Because that comment
that's
was
true
coming.
Too, right? Remember? Yeah,
that fight. Comment was coming for me, and you turned it around to Petey. So that's good. I like it.
I saw my tags on for my free shirt at the alumni thing, by the way. Oh, JP.
You know what?
Man, that was a dagger to the heart, man.
Hey.
Like,
hey.
You know what?
Always the, in the offense, buddy. Always.
The only scene you saw me was after we win, Palmer scores, and we all rushed to the pile in Ottawa.
You almost lost your towel. Remember?
I jumped in the pile, and I fell backward on my back. I'm laying on the ice as everybody's celebrating.
Let me ask you guys this.
Oh, it's so funny.
You're such a I live in Buffalo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history with the guys that I hang around, and I continuously hear the 2006 Buffalo Sabres hockey team. Was that one of not only the best teams that you guys played for, but the best team that you guys played for? As in, inside the locker room, the care for each other. Like, you're talking about all these nicknames, Mugatu, this, and there's... I hear... They talk about you when you're not even here, on the radio, TV, and
you, JP,
about,
you may not realize it, man, but
you're legendary.
You are a legend.
You are a legend.
Look at this guy.
You won. Wait, number 17. It was JP Dumont, right? We didn't. We do Sabres by the sweater numbers, and
there was some guy on there named Foligno. I don't. You know,
Foligno?
There was Foligno.
He's here
there was
today.
A couple other number 17s, but it was Dupont for me.
no,
but
you're right, though, Craig. We had, like, you know, we always together. Seriously, like, I remember, like, even at home, like, we're doing, like, somebody's like, hey, I mean, the guy's over playing poker. Right? The poker was popular at that time.
Yep.
And we'll be, like, you know, 15 guys will come. The other five will come a little bit later. But the wise, like, we always hang out together. And
your pool table was our poker table.
Yeah, and we could, like, you know, like I said, like, now these days it's a little bit different. You listen to the guys talking, but... Back in the days, like, and I'm talking, it's not that long, 12 years ago, but you know your teammates. You know, like, their wives, their kid's name. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure you ask a kid, like, he's been playing for 2 years. Like, you know, hey, does he have any kids? He's probably know. Not even able to answer that.
Yeah.
You
he's
know
like,
what I mean?
Yeah, like, but that's his username on Fortnite.
Yeah.
Like, they know, like, everything.
Yeah, but they're all under the age of, like, 23 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's
so it's
true.
Like, it's a lot different where we had a few younger guys. We had the middle-aged, and you had old guys. But then you had a really old guy.
Yes.
Every team had a Grandpa. Super old
yeah.
guy.
That Fossil.
Do you remember what you
Chase
got
Patrick.
Me for Christmas?
Fossil, that's right.
So, like you say, the guys were really close. We used to do a gift exchange at Christmas. And
oh,
one
yeah.
year, JP got me. Do you remember what you got me? Do you remember what gifts you gave me?
Now, did you
no.
get them, JP,
gave me,
or did you arrange
no,
to get them?
No,
you gave me
remember.
A leash, a dog
oh,
leash,
yeah.
so I wouldn't stray too far away from the net because I used to like to go in the corners and play the puck.
He was
and
so
he's like,
bad at playing the
so
puck.
So they're like, hook that to your collar and hook it to the net so
did
you can't
it come
go
with
anywhere.
A muzzle?
He got me a muzzle, too. That
now
was
I
the second
it.
One, yeah.
If you look at my stats, like if I were to play, like, you know, with a different goalie and Marty, I would probably be a plus player.
Every time. Every bad goal, JP and Danny used to come to me the next day after a game. They'd be like, seriously, we were -1. We won 4-1, and that was a terrible goal, and you got us to be -1. They
yeah.
would be like, it's literally upset. But, hey,
but
whatever.
It's okay.
It's okay.
What
you
did
a good
you
career.
Think about being traded from Chicago? Because you were traded from Chicago, right? From Chicago to Buffalo?
I was so young, you know what I mean? Like, was unexpected, too, and... I was part of the trade, right? You know what I mean? Like, at that time, I know they were they had a playoff push, and they want to get Gilmore out of Chicago, and the Sabres wanted him. So I was. That's when I went to Rochester and played. Like I think it was like 13 games in Roch in the playoff that year. That was different. You know what I mean? I remember getting here. I was pretty upset because the Sabres, you know, like Ashik was in net. And, yeah, the Sabres was not scoring a lot of goals, yeah. Right? You know what I mean? It was just a defensive team. And I got here, and I'm looking at the stat. And at that time, I had 10 goals. And I'm looking, and I was, like, fifth on the team, like, with 10. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a chance. You know what I mean? And they sent me down right away. I was pretty upset. But I made a lot of good friends in Rochester. And I learned the system pretty good.
You were a third overall pick. I remember you sat right in front of my brother, my family, and I down at the draft in St. Louis when you were drafted. And I remember when you were traded to Chicago. You know, we see all these young kids now coming into the NHL at such young ages. I mean, do you think it helped you to move around, or do you think, you know, the Islanders, I mean, you know, would have handled things differently? I mean, like, obviously, things worked out for you. You had a phenomenal career, but every guy's different. So I'm just wondering.
Well, I think now the teams are more involved with their draft picks, right? You know what I mean? Back then, like, I remember even, like, I love the Sabres. You know what I mean? I'm here. But, like, even when I got traded, I remember to this when I got traded from Chicago to Buffalo, Montreal was in town playing the Sabres. And I got here, like, around 6 o'clock. The taxi dropped me right in front of the rink. I couldn't get in. Like, nobody was there to welcome me.
Doug Gilmore's in the back getting out of his limo.
No, but he was playing. I remember. And like I said, like, but now it's like, you know what I mean? Like, every team stay. Like, I'm not saying they didn't take care of me, but it was just, like, different back then. Now, like, they take care of their pick. You know what I mean? They're protecting their pick. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's
so
an advancement.
You got drafted third overall.
Yeah, it was a terrible year. That was good for me.
When...
Look at that draft. I'm not joking.
And where did you play out of? Where was your... Did you play
Valdor?
Valdor in the queue. Yeah.
Chris Phillips was number one.
When did you know
Andre Zuzan was number two?
That you were elite?
Wow. I play at 16-year-old in the queue. Like, you know what I mean? My team was terrible, so that gave me a chance to play, but we were not really good. So,
yeah, you had a Bush League year. In 48 games, you had 5 goals, 14 assists. Were you a first-round pick in the queue?
No, it was the second round.
Second round.
You can only draft underage player in the top 2 rounds.
But I was really skinny, you know what I mean? Like, I was 6'1", but really skinny and really skills, but I was not really playing physical yet, you know what I mean, because I never really had to. And during that season, I learned a lot, like, as much as, like I said, my stats didn't really show, but I learned a lot. And that summer, I trained like a maniac, like with Gaetan Boucher.
Yeah.
You guys know that
speed
skater. Yeah, like I trained like unbelievable in that. I jump into 48 goals and
ladies and gentlemen,
that year. So like,
well, wait, before you say anything,
last year juniors in playoffs.
Well, yeah, but that's what I was going to bring up. So there was a record in goals scored in the playoffs that belonged to Guy Lafleur in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
Mario Lemieux? Yeah.
Is that so? Oh, well, even better.
Yeah.
I thought it was Guy, but so JP beat Mario Lemieux's record in the playoffs that year.
Riff, any idea? 19 games. Give me some goals and assists.
How many goals and assists in 19 games?
That would be Mario Lemieux back in the 80s.
I'm going to have to go something crazy and say 2 goals a game. I'll put him at 37 goals and how many games? 19?
Yeah.
That's a lot. No,
two
I'm going to go
35
goals and 29 assists.
No, little high, but still. 19 games, 31 goals.
31 goals in 19
46
games.
46 points.
What was the record?
It was 29.
It was 29?
He did
less
29 and 14, though.
you played 5 more games still. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Well, that's like Babe Ruth. I mean, you know, like, did they really break the record? 61? Yeah. You ever see the movie 61? Yeah. JP, that's not a record. I'm sorry.
The heck you go
That's not your record.
And in the season, you went 48 goals the next year?
No, he had 57 goals in 55 games that year.
Yeah, my last year junior, I scored 91 goals.
I'm talking the 91 year you got drafted.
He went from
I got 48 goals that year. Yeah.
So you went 5 to 48?
Yeah.
How do you go from 5 goals to 48?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just everything click, right? You know what I mean? Like, I was... I
Did
learned
your
a lot
team
by
team get better too?
My team got better. We had like really good draft pick. We have Luongo as a goalie.
Who cares? He made it to the NHL. How good his
team was. He scored 91 goals in a season his last year junior. 91.
What?
If you would have been better if
Oh, with the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah. But 91 goals.
He did? What's 57 plus 31? That's 88.
Yeah, but 3 in the Memorial Cup.
I see.
You win the Memorial Cup? No.
French math, eh, boys?
We got spanked pretty good.
Yeah. No, I remember you were number 71, right? Yeah. And 96. Yeah. That's right. You were number 96.
Yeah, I scored a few goals against Marty in the junior.
Yeah, I was terrible against Marty.
Where were you born in?
Everybody did. What?
What year were you born in?
78. That's why I said, like, the draft year was perfect for me, too. Was not a strong draft, so.
Rivs, when did you leave Montreal?
When did I get traded from Montreal?
No, yeah, from Montreal to
2008.
Okay, so JP, when you
2007,
that was 2006, 2007, right? So the summer that you went to arbitration, the Sabres didn't sign you. You went to Nashville, but I remember the rumors all had you possibly going to Montreal. You guys may have crossed paths a year if the Canadians would have been.
That
smart.
Was Samsonov. Like that's what he told me because they just signed Samsonov in the market.
Yeah. Right. That, but those three years in Nashville were your three best years, stats-wise.
Montreal back then, there was no salary cap back then. Montreal, they have a ton of money.
Well, there was a salary cap when he was there, but still.
Okay, so Montreal would have paid anything to get these French hockey players, and no one wanted to come there.
Yeah. Well,
they went after Danny Briere, and I mean...
And Danny used me. He's like, well, if GP would have been there, like maybe.
Yeah, right.
I bet you if they sign
but
you,
Montreal,
there's a
we
big
tried
chance.
That kid. I was really close like to go to Montreal that year. But like I said, that was they had like not even like under $1 million left on the cap. And like they said, like, well, if you're still on sign at the camp and we can make a trade. But that's like I'm not waiting until the camp. So.
Yeah, and that worked out well for you. You went to really Nashville. Good. You had some really good hockey there. You live there now. I mean, you love it in Nashville. You work for and coach kids in the youth hockey. You have a 15U team that you're going to be here in Buffalo in a couple weeks for the OHL Cup.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun.
People may see you at the Harbor Center.
Now that you're coaching, before we get out of here for break, we spent a lot of time reminiscing. Eric Lindros with some comments about hitting out of minor hockey. What do you think about that?
I really believe that, you know, that at the travel level, you know what I mean? Like, you cannot, you know, you have to have the physical play so everybody get ready for it. But, you know, like, I will say, like, house level and stuff like that, like, maybe no contact yet.
Yeah.
But it's hard, right? You know, because that kid was stronger and bigger than everybody else. Like, you know what I mean? That's his game. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tough one. I understand
like
the point, but, like, you know, like, it's part of the game. I heard you say, like, you know, the game is good, it's fun, you know, don't change it too much, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, if not, like I said, like, remember, like, you know, everybody said pay the price, but if you take everything out of the game, like, everybody will be able to play hockey. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not the game. The game is like, you know, you want to score goals, get in front of the net, pay the price. Go in the corner, pay the price.
Here, let's take blocking shots
out
of the game.
That hurts
players.
That's the smartest thing, I think.
I mean, we want to take everything
out of
the game.
I'll take shot blocking out before
I
take hitting out.
No, but I like what JP says at the house level, where you got some different abilities in the mix.
Yes.
You may want to take that out of there, but at the travel level, at the AAA level, you got to keep hitting there because it's just part of the game.
I agree with that. We got to get out of here for break, but you know what? These AA teams and AA clubs, I don't think they need to be running and gunning out there at 16, 17 years old. I mean,
they have to be ready for the next year, though.
That's the problem. They have to be ready for the next year.
Are they true AA? Are they really, like, it depends on the organization, too.
We are not AA.
They're AA. They're playing AA because they're skill level. So work on the skills so they can make the jump to AAA.
He's JJ, and JJ's telling us to get out of here, and we're done talking AA.
We missed the break already.
We missed the break. We're going to get out of here. Unreal stuff, JP. Unreal stuff.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Can we have you tomorrow?
I'll be there. I don't know if I'm going to be.
Maybe you
got to
tell stories about tonight, tomorrow.
We'll talk about days and days.
If you
on
think
the bus.
I have a bad accent right now, just
nope.
Just
no, no, we're going to be asking. We're going to be asking him about the best pranks that he's performed, because what I understand is JP Dumont is one of the best.
Yes, JP Dumont is one of the best sneaky pranksters. Something about a pink Lacoste golf shirt we'll talk about tomorrow. 100%. I will ask JP Dumont about the pink golf shirt that I brought up on this show before. It was signed by Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr, the French Connection. We don't even know how they got there. But that's JP Dumont. Instigators coming back up after the break. We're going to have a sports update. And I believe the president of the Sabres alumni, Rob Ray, will be joining us, we think, and possibly Darren Pupa. We'll be right back here, Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.